Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hey, so before we get started, I wanted to talk to you guys about Disney Plus. Now, I know by now you've probably heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From classics like Snow White to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. And if all that isn't enough, Disney Plus even has originals like The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. So don't miss out. Go and sign up today and start streaming and tell them Hayes sent you. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Awakened Soul Podcast. We have Tia, the First Lady, in the building this week. We're going to be discussing the ugly truth. I can't wait to get into that conversation and attack it from probably a different viewpoint on it than what you're expecting by just hearing that title. But how rude of me. Welcome again to the Awakened Soul. I am your lovely and not so humble host, Mr. CEO Hayes, aka the Dad Bod God, aka the Red Bearded Assassin, aka the Content King, is in the building this week, as I am every week on this podcast. And right off the rip, if you want to follow us, make sure you go to The Awakened Soul Pod or at Awakened Soul Pod, just depending on where you're looking for us at. You can also follow me at CEO Hayes, that's CEO Haize. And if this is your first time listening to The Awakened Soul Podcast, welcome. We have been growing a lot here recently. So I just want to thank any new listeners. I haven't shouted you guys out as much as I have previously in the past. It's just been a busy time, which we're going to get into during the In the Mind of Hayes segment. But before we get into any of that, I do want to say for everyone who turned out for that the comedy show this weekend, thank you. Even though it wasn't my show, I was there under a working capacity. I actually directed it and filmed it. It's going to be a special. You guys see it. It's actually going to be a monthly thing going forward. So if you find yourself in the Columbus, Ohio area, make sure you hit me up. Hopefully it's during the weekend when one of these comedy shows are going on, and I'm going to invite you out. And I'm telling you, it's going to be an amazing time. I think there was about 120 people at the event. It was a packed house. It was an amazing experience to get to see the comedians do their thing there. Great show to be able to watch. Even better to be able to network and add my director's eye to it and get different angles. And just, you know, as I continue to grow into like this photography, videography thing, stuff like that, I don't take lightly. And the fact that, you know, they liked obviously what I do enough to ask me to film it was an amazing experience. So I thank you for that. It's just a great thing to be able to take my craft, do something different, because I started in this creative realm. If anyone would have told me I would have found the passion for love and video like I have, I wouldn't have believed it myself. And I actually posted a video on my Instagram page and my Twitter page as well, just talking about the importance in investing in yourself. You know, we kind of talked about on the Breaks Radio too, coming off the heels of Joe Budden's conversation about ownership. And, you know, I have invested in myself, all this gear. If you're watching the YouTube version, if you see me, everything that you see, I own. Even though it looks like I'm in the studio, I'm in my studio, in my house, which all this equipment I own. So it's amazing to just be able to feel like if I wanted to do some random voiceover stuff, I can do that. If I wanted to film a video ad for something, I do that. I have the equipment to do it all, and I invested heavily in myself over the past 18 months, and it's really starting to pay off more and more. Probably would have been paying off sooner if it wasn't for COVID, because things seemed like they were really going to be taking off in the photography realm right before that. But you know, things happen for a reason. I'm not mad at it. Everything happened, gave me time to save up and get some more gear. I renovated the studio. So everything happens for a reason. So I'm really happy with what we're building for the Breaks Media. But that's enough. This is probably one of the longest welcoming intros I do. Usually this segment is like, this part of the show is probably like a minute. I just welcome to the show, tell you what we're going to talk about, we get into it. So enough of that. Let's go ahead. Let's get into our intro music. Come back on the other side of that with the In the Mind of Hayes segment. I see you lovely and beautiful people there.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my dad.
All right, welcome to my dark and twisted crazy ass mind. So I want to start this one off with playing a voice message that I got in reference to my podcast, the content, and just everything there. And I don't really have I have stuff to say about it, but it's not going to be totally in depth because they say it all on the voicemail. Let's go ahead and get into that, and then I'll catch you guys on the other side of that. Hold on.
I just had to tell you, I've been like going back and listening to some older Awakened Souls or whatever. And right now I'm listening to this one where you were talking about how people get in the way of their own happiness. And it's like, you are talking right to me. It's crazy. You might not talk a lot, but when you do talk, you be saying some shit, boy. You be knowing what you're talking about sometimes, CJ. Because I swear, you were talking to me and you weren't even talking to me. I do stand in the way of my own happiness. I do that. I keep my guard up and I have said the exact words to myself that you said. Like, I do it a lot. Like, there are things that I could be happy about, that I should be happy about. But then I tell myself, you know what, Brittany, don't even get your hopes up. Don't get excited about this. Don't be happy, because you know that something, as soon as you get happy about it, the shit's gonna fuck up. And then you're gonna be disappointed and upset. So just don't. Just don't be happy. I say that to myself all the time about stuff. All the time. And I just... You be saying some shit. I just had to let you know that. Another one that I've listened to is the one with your daughter. Oh my gosh, it was the sweetest thing ever. I smiled the whole time because it was just so open and honest, and you could just see the love between the two of you. It was so cute. And you know, she's, like you said, she's entering, she's getting older and getting up in those, you know, teenage years and stuff. And she even said, she was talking about her, you know, socials, the TikToks, and you know, her wanting to be with her friends more than she wants to be with you guys or whatever. And it was just so, even with her entering that stage, like, you could just see how much she loves you. And that's awesome that you guys have a relationship like that and have the rapport that you have, and that she feels comfortable coming to you with her problems. It's just the sweetest thing. I love it. But anyways, but I just wanted to let you know that I be seeing you, and I listen, and I like what I hear. But yeah, okay, bye.
I can't say enough how humbling it is, right? Because, you know, for me, I do this podcast because it's my passion. The Awakened Soul, even though I do other podcasts, The Awakened Soul specifically, I always say it's like my journal. It's a look into my mind. It's a look into how my brain works. Things break down. I'm not always as funny on this podcast as I am on the other ones because the content can be very serious. I think on last week's episode, this week's episode, especially because of the people I'm recording with, you get a little bit more of... Well, in the episode before that, too, I had JB, but you get a little bit more of my jokey and jovial side, and people can be funny, and I'm trying to introduce more of my antics into, like, the promo videos and stuff, because I can be a funny person, but the content is always what's special to me. Like all the other stuff I kind of add and take away, but ultimately, when you listen to the content of The Awakened Soul, I want it to be something that resonates with the people who listen to it on. And 2020... has really fed into me. People have filled into me, I guess I should say, or poured into me. Better words, as I'm trying to find my wording. Have fed into me, poured into me. I just said it. They've poured into me just how much they appreciate the content that I create, how much they appreciate the level of detail in what I put in it. And, you know, you heard in that message that, you know, even... She mentioned how the songs that I pick typically add to it. I'm not one of those podcasters who... just picks a song because I like it. I just throw in a song because it sounds cool or it's nostalgia. A lot of the music you've been hearing more so this year has been original music. Samples of some classic stuff, samples of some other music that's more popular, but with a different spin on it. I think ultimately that's what I want to do and that's what I try to create with this. I said it years ago. I think like within the first year of The Awakened Soul, I said that The Awakened Soul is not just a podcast. I want it to be an audio experience. And you know, we've added video to that since then, but the music side of it, music is a very big part of my life. Hell, I did a whole episode saying how music is the greatest medium of all time because of the emotions and everything you're able in the story that you're able to convey through a great song when it's done amazingly. So like, I want my podcast to be reflective of how I look at music. And so my use of music is also something that I want typically to add to whatever's going on. And, you know, sometimes with the outro music, I do throw a song that's been on my mind or whatever. But here lately in 2020, it's really been something to kind of keep that vibe going of what was in the show. So I appreciate that. I don't use music as heavily as what I used to. I know there used to be a musical transition between every segment. Now we try to shout out other podcasters and give them some ad space to promote other podcasts in that space. So it's not always just music. So it helps other people get shine as well. We all eat. But ultimately, when you hear a piece of music, especially coming into the main discussion topic and coming out of the main discussion topic, I really wanted to be something that kind of sets the tone and then sends you on your way, keeping that vibe going of what we were listening to. But ultimately, I know I'm getting sidetracked, but it's just a great feeling to know that something that you're producing is touching people in the way that it is. And I've been blessed in this podcasting game. I've said it many times that I've saw success very early on. And I admit it, it's at probably about the 18-month mark, I stagnated a while. And then I realized, hey, no, get back on your game. We've been full force since then. I try to be very, to just keep an open mind and really look at the content that I'm creating and what it means, not only to me, but to the people who are going to listen to it. So I appreciate you. You guys don't know, like, even though that was one listener, you guys don't understand how much it means to me when you guys reach out, DM me. I've been in conversations about that Sigma Male episode since it dropped. Like, legit, the conversations about that have not stopped since that episode was released. But even there, like, people who catch up, I still get messages and DMs about More Like Than Different, the episode with my daughter. I still get messages about the episode I did with my pops. And that was what, 2 Father's Days ago? It was some time. So, you know, the fact that I know some of my segments aren't as evergreen because I do talk about some of the recent events, especially here in the In the Minor Haze segment. But ultimately, my discussion topic segments, I always want them to be conversations that can be evergreen. You can go into and listen to it 3 years later and it still resonates. It still hits. That's just something I've been blessed to be able to do in this podcasting game since I started. It's been good to me. I've been good to podcasting. I respect it. I respect my listeners. And I love you guys. So I wanted to take some time out during the End of Minor Haze segment just to put the focus on that and on you guys. Because ultimately, everything that I do, even with me now going more heavily into photography and directing, it all started because of the love that you guys have given me with my content, with The Awakened Soul and everything. So I appreciate you guys so much for that. Thank you for the continued support, the continued love. And to the other creatives out there, the ones that I love their content and that are just inspiring. Like, I've met some amazing people over this time of podcasting. You know, I can't shout out Dan on Drugs and AJ from What We're Gonna Do enough. Like, Dan, I don't think Dan really realizes how much he means to the podcasting culture sometimes. And AJ, that's just my dude, man. I know when AJ, even though he's been kind of away from social media for a while, like, me and him talk, it's him, because you guys know I'm terrible with communication. I'm terrible at catching up with people, and I apologize. It doesn't mean that I don't love you guys. I'm just terrible at it. But AJ has been messaging me almost every time I drop an episode, just and it means a lot. Like, I don't think that brother realized how much it means. Me and AJ have been people that been two brothers that have disagreed publicly, that we aren't always on the same page, but there's a mutual respect there. But I talk about those two brothers enough. You guys, I've probably mentioned Dan or AJ in like every episode in like the last 3 or 4 months. So you guys should know about them already. But like Steph from the Grey Pill Podcast, someone who's recently come into my circle over the last year, Takora from the Melanin Manifestival. That's my sister at this point. Like, we check in with each other. We pray for each other. I don't want to leave anyone out. Rhonda Mary, who we kind of got started in this creative game at the same time. Tony Bryce, who was on one of my podcasts, who's just blown up. She actually is an actress on P-Valley. These are people who, like, legit pour into me. I pour into them, and I try my best to. And I love what they do creatively. I love them as people, right? And I think that's really important to me. And another person, I want to make sure that I shout this out, not just because I'm on the show, but because of what I call him like my brother / mentor. Mr. Billy Ray Valentine. I was blessed to be on his podcast, America Unplugged, on the Iconic Network, which is owned by David Icke. Icke, if you guys don't know him, you need to know. But that's alternative media if you guys aren't into that. And we talked about the race relations and stuff like that on this podcast. But, you know, these are people who I really feel blessed to have them in my circle. I feel blessed to have them as people that I can call on to work with, and they hold me accountable in XYZ. So I don't take that stuff for granted. But enough of that. Enough of, because I was very close to getting mushy there. I don't do that. So we're going to go ahead and move into the last thing that we got during this In the Mind of Hayes segment. That is Candace Owens, Cardi B. I'm going to talk about it. We probably get more in depth on the Breaks Radio. So make sure you go and check out the Breaks Radio this week when it drops on Thursday. But the fact that, you know, Candace Owens, we all know, you know, people have called her everything under the book because she's a Trump supporter. She's a Republican. And some of the things that she says about the black community are downright disgusting, especially in the George Floyd case and everything like that. And I guess Cardi B has had enough of it. And, you know, Cardi B is someone we just talked about on the Berks Radio. Matter of fact, that she's her. She owns her. She owns who she is, what she does, and everything. And it's funny how she mentions how she wants to motivate people to go and vote, just like she motivated people to pop their pussy. Like, that line, enough for me. Put that shit on a t-shirt. Man, I would wear that shit. Because that, like, it goes to show that she's recognizing her power. Cardi B is, what, 27, 28 years old. And, you know, as much as we look at her as the fun, the twerker and the provocateur or whatever, I think she's still maintaining her, but she realizes the power that she has in the position that she's in, and that you can't do nothing but respect, because there's a lot of people, artists, celebrities that don't realize that. And you know, we've done an episode on it here. We shouldn't be looking to these celebrities for motivation. I don't think it's not their job to be role models or anything like that. But when they do, and they take it seriously, I think that needs to be commended as well. And, you know, the back and forth between her and Candace Owens, it was bound to happen between somebody and Candace Owens. And as we lead into this election, relations are going to get at an all time high when it comes to tension. It's going between the political parties. It's going to. Candace Owens backs Trump. We knew that was going to be a thing. She truly believes that the best thing for the black community is in the Republican Party. Whether you believe that or whether you agree with that or disagree with it, that is what she believes, and she's defending her belief. And a lot of people in our culture think that that's bullshit, and it's good to see that somebody stand out and talk to her, because very often Candace Owens has these opinions and she remains unchecked on them, or nobody really combats her. Like, it's happened. T.I.'s done it, a couple of others, but for the most part, and I'm not saying that I want to see a debate between two people who aren't even running for anything necessarily, but, you know, I would love to see a debate between Cardi B and Candace Owens. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I think it's funny how a lot of the people in our culture that people do look up to are pretty quiet on politics. And it's Cardi B who's speaking out on it. It's Cardi B who worked with Biden. It's just interesting and really makes you think, right? But more power to her. Hats off to her. Stand up for what you believe in. And, you know, I keep saying it, the In the Mind of Hayes segment is going to get more political as we get closer to this election. So, well, not political. I'm going to have conversations about things going on in politics. But, yeah, so that's it. That's all I wanted to leave it on. Just wanted to comment and give my thoughts on the Candace Owens and Cardi B situation. But that's it. We are going to go ahead. No Cookie Chronicles this week because Tia is in the main discussion topic. And anytime we do the main discussion topic together, we don't... She doesn't do a Cookie Chronicles because we get all our thoughts there. We're actually, first thing we're going to talk about is the verses between Monica and Brandy. And then we're going to come off of that and we're going to get into the main discussion topic, which is about the ugly truth. I can't wait till you guys hear this concept. Let's go ahead and get into the break. I see you lovely and beautiful people after that with the buzzing beauty herself, the first lady, a.k.a. Tia, which she may kill me for keep calling her by her name, but fuck it. I want all the smoke. I'll see you guys after this. What's going on? I got Miss Lady in the building this week for a discussion topic. A little bit. Hopefully you guys see a different side of Lady this one. She may go off. This kind of spurned from just a conversation that we had, which is usually the best content with me and Lady because we just have great chemistry like that. But without further ado, even though you guys hear every week on the Cookie Chronicles segment, let me introduce Miss Lady to the Awakened Soul. What's going on, man?
Hey, ain't been here in a while on a full episode.
I know, right? It has been a minute. But we got a few things to talk about. It's going to be a fun conversation. The first thing, something that you brought up that you wanted to talk about on the list, and that was this Versus. Even though I kind of talked about it on the Brooks Radio. But let's talk about it again here because I know you want to talk about it. What were your thoughts?
I mean, I loved it, but you thought it was trash.
It was terrible.
It was trash. The best Versus. I mean, besides Brandy's little jabs, Brandy comes across as very bossy. But outside of that, the music itself, the vibe was good.
That's where I have to disagree because the vibe of the thing was petty and it seemed like neither one of them to be there.
As far as the music.
But see, that's the thing. For what that was worth, and that's all everyone's talking about, you would think that you guys didn't hear Brandy or Monica songs in 50. Like, I feel like everyone is so caught up in the nostalgia of hearing their songs, and I get that. That happens when you listen. But for the point of us watching Versus is to see the interaction between the artists, to get the stories behind the scenes, to see them perform on the ones that they do perform, and everything about it that makes Versus for me was trash. I could listen to their music anytime. I got Spotify playlists. I can listen to their music whenever the fuck I want to. So it wasn't like the music aspect of it was fine. And I get that. But everything else, like Brandy did, like Brandy doing that whole fake nice thing, I didn't feel. The vibe of it was off to me. The fact that they made this big deal out of it. Hell, they cut a trailer with Mekhi Phifer before they did this shit. The shit was all trash. Like, no, the trailer was dope.
But you have to think about why it was a big deal. It's a big deal because everyone knows that Brandy and Monica they've been beefing for years. Years. Mm-hmm. And initially when it was brought, you know, when the fans wanted to see them on Versus, one of them said no. I don't remember which one it was. It might have been Monica. But one of them said no. So for now, all of a sudden, for them to both agree to it, and even though they weren't like the best of friends on there, they probably legit just squashed the beef just for this Versus. So you can tell that whatever they might have discussed was like probably the days, if not the day of Versus. So, I mean, the fact that they put their differences aside for the most part and came together and gave the people what they wanted It was good.
But see,
I enjoyed it.
Well, Sam, maybe that's just my... To me, they didn't put their differences aside. Monica released a damn single at this thing, so that makes it seem like she accepted to do it so she can release her little dumbass single that was whack as shit.
But everybody releases a new single.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Most people release new things.
No, no. This is the first time somebody released a new...
Lil Jon released a new song on
there. No, no. See, you're confusing... Monica released a song. You're confusing people showing unreleased music with releasing a new single. That's completely different. Yes, Versus have had unreleased songs that it's our first time listening, that's been on the shelf for years. Lil Jon did not release a single. It didn't hit iTunes the next day.
Song, but Lil Jon was in it.
So no, it's a completely different thing. Like, it just seems like they try to capitalize off of it. And like I said, I know that's not the popular opinion, but for me, it's just like, nah, man.
But
nah.
So what? That's the time to do it when you got 1.2 plus million people in one place looking at you. That's the time
Listen,
to do it. You
have nobody to remember, been checking for new music from
they
them.
They are artists. An artist.
No, you're excusing it because you enjoyed the nostalgia. That shit is trash. That shit is trash. And that single ain't going chart. Don't nobody give a fuck about that shit. Was whack. So no.
I like the song.
Shit's whack. Whack. But anyway, to each their own, right? To each their own. You enjoyed it. A lot of people enjoyed it. They broke the record. Yeah. More power to them that they did that shit. But like I said on the Breaks Radio, they gotta get better with verses. Like, at this point, It's starting to feel like they're starting to get the bottom of the barrel. Like, people are now, like before when Versus started, it seemed like a passion thing. I know it started in the middle of quarantine and everything and all that, but now it's starting to get to the point where it's like it's don't just do something just to do it. You feel me? And I get that this one was hype because people wanted to see them, but like that Lil Jon and Rick, I'm not Lil Jon, that 2 Chainz and Rick Ross one, fucking basura. That shit was trash as fuck. This shit, it's just going downhill. And I just hope that I would almost rather only get one a month than just to do them. Like, and I don't know if at some point they're going to have to make it charge for it, make it a pay-per-view type thing to get the bigger names in. Because at this point, like, the names that people are really wanting to see, the bigger names, the Jay-Z, the Dr. Dre's, whatever, aren't going to do this shit for free. It's not going to happen. They don't benefit anything from it. So if Versus is going to continue to grow, Apple signed them now. Like, so they're going to, I'm worried that now that Apple signed them to a deal, that it's going to be this thing of, we got to do 2 a month. And then one of those two is probably going to be trash. Like, that's just, it just worries.
But why do you think they're doing bottom of the barrel artists? Like, these are not bottom of the barrel artists. Monica and Brandy are legends.
Okay, they're legends, but that shit, ain't nobody checking for them now. Like, the thing is,
it doesn't matter.
Nobody,
they're still legends.
It doesn't,
nobody,
but it doesn't matter. Big Daddy Kane is a legend. Big Daddy Kane is a legend. And ain't nobody checking for a Big Daddy Kane versus. So using the excuse that they're legends ain't, like, it has to be something that people want to see. And, well, let me say this. It has to be people that actually want to do verses and engage in the showmanship of it. Not just to show up to do it. This felt like it was thrown together because the fans wanted to see it and they've been calling for it. And it didn't seem like it. Like, when Brandy brought up the slap thing, if it wasn't for Monica trying to keep it cute, that beef shit ain't over. Like, I don't want. Matter of fact, here's the thing. If they bring 2 people on that are beefing, just let them beef. Let's embrace the petty at this point. Embrace the fucking petty. Let's let it be genuine.
I'm gonna be honest. That's what I did not want to see. I did not want to see 2 black women get on Instagram or wherever else they show and act petty towards each other. I did not want to see that. And I specifically said that, like, the day of, I hope they do not get on here and be petty. To me, the only petty one was Brandy. Monica tried to keep it cute. I felt like if it wasn't for them cameras, she probably would have said a little something. But, you know, she kept it cute. It was Brandy that kind of fucked it up a little bit.
Listen,
just a little bit.
The most entertaining thing to come out of that verse is the video after the fact of Ray J dancing on the side of the day after when that shit got released. That motherfucker is, say what you will about Ray J, but that's an entertaining motherfucker. Like, that dude is hilarious, man. But I feel like Ray J is one of those people who truly live in their own world. Like, their own, like, in his mind, in his world, he's probably the biggest superstar ever, and can't nobody tell him different.
But you know what? I noticed watching Versus that Brandy acts just like Ray J.
Yeah.
Just, it was slightly annoying, but it is what it is.
Apple don't fall too far from the tree, or whatever that saying goes. But,
yeah.
But that's one thing that we wanted to talk about. We do have an actual topic to discuss and get into.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Marco the Prince, the host of Hear Me Out Podcast, and I am here to tell you a little about me and my podcast. A little bit about me. I'm born and raised in Portland, Oregon, currently reside on the East Coast. I have done everything from a 9-to-5, retail, been homeless, been engaged, AmeriCorps, volunteer jobs, and whatever you think of, I probably have done it or experienced it. And I am here just so my voice can be heard and hopefully touch the voice of someone else to remind them that we all don't got it, but we can all go get it. So I'm here to just share my life experiences, motivate people, rant, and just be heard. So you can hear me out on all the socials at hearmeout.pod for Instagram, Hear Me Out Podcast on Facebook, and also This Is Hear Me Out on Twitter. And you can also stream me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio, Public, and wherever you catch your favorite cast at. So hopefully you hear me out and catch the vibe.
So this one all started from, well, I can't remember. What did you say? What did I say? The nerve of these ugly motherfuckers or some shit like that?
Yeah, to be like in your inbox or something, trying to talk to you or something like that. So, something to that effect.
Me being me, I took that concept and that conversation that we're going to have. I turned it into something that we can actually more so talk about. We're titling this segment The Ugly Truth. But the first thing that we want to talk about before we get into the ugly truth and kind of it's going to be some funny. It's going to be some insightful stuff to come out. But I sent you some stats or whatever. And this one's about society's bias towards attractiveness. And this one was weird. It's just interesting to find out. We can talk about what you feel about this one. First, research says that we're hardwired to believe that beautiful people are more morally superior and hardly question. Wait, what did I write? Research says that we're hardwired to believe the beautiful and morally superior. What? I wrote that incorrectly. I've been reading too many Love, Lust, and Badass Soul emails. But either way, it's supposed to say that that we are hardwired to believe that beautiful people are more they're easier to look up to. They're more morally superior. They have it easier generally. What do you think about that? The beauty, I guess, if we're calling it privilege, so to say, what do you think about it?
Pretty privilege that? Is pretty what privilege? I called
okay.
it.
Okay, cool.
I did an episode called that on Cooking Chronicles a long time ago. I think it's true. I think, I don't think it's, well, maybe it is something that we're taught, like, subconsciously, but pretty people, beautiful people do have it easier. A lot of the time, but we also have our issues too. Like, you have some people that think just because you're beautiful, you're stupid or you're airhead and you don't know anything, or they try to take advantage of you and put you in awkward situations, especially like in workplace type settings. So it goes both ways, but we do definitely have it better than the people that are not as attractive.
And it sucks. It sucks because when you're forced to like us have this, like this conversation and face it, it's like, damn, that's fucked up. But it's true, right? Like it's true. When you look at it, like for example, like if you see two people, right? Like for two people, they're put in front of you, and they say one of these two people just robbed this store. One's ugly. One's beautiful. Research says you're more than likely going to think that the beautiful person wouldn't have done it.
That's true.
And it's kind of fucked up, right? But that's ingrained in society. Like when you think about it, like especially American society or all societies and cultures, really, like we value beauty. We look at beauty as something that's admirable. And it's like just because somebody's attractive, and I say this all, I've said this before, let me not say all the time, is that like the way that people look doesn't have shit to do with them. Like, that's genetics. Thank their parents for that. Them two people got together and they got the right splice of genes that made that person attractive. But then when you look at this research, like, people are gaining so much privileges from it. And even it breaks down further to say that, like, even in politics, people are more likely to vote for somebody who's attractive than somebody who's ugly. And it's like, damn, these are the people who are deciding our futures and our laws, and we sitting there voting for them based off the motherfucker being ugly or not.
Yeah. Especially, I think it's people that more so don't know a lot about politics, but they still want to vote. Like, they want their vote to count. They just go to the booths and be like, oh, well, which one is the more attractive one? I'll go for that one. Which is sad, but, you know, it is what it is. So, it happens.
Let me ask you this. When has somebody gotten the benefit of the doubt from you because they were attractive? And looking back at it, you were like, damn, I got blinded by the fact that they were fine, man or woman.
Shit, I don't remember. I'm leery of everybody. I don't care if you're attractive or not. So I couldn't even tell you. I don't remember. Probably when I was younger. Not now, knowing what I know. Because, you know, when you know better, you do better. So not currently, but probably when I was younger. Maybe early 20s, mid-20s, maybe.
That makes sense. God ain't too fine or cute, right? That's what the saying goes. And, you know, for me to answer that question, I'd have to think, like, when has somebody gotten the benefit of the doubt of me because they were attractive? I don't know. Somebody would have to present me with the situation, because, like, of course, yeah. Me being me, like, I'd like to think that I was more logical and didn't give somebody the benefit of the doubt just because they were pretty or not, but I'm sure it's happened at some point. Like you said, especially when I was younger in high school, I'm 96% sure it probably happened in high school. Oh, yeah, because there were some pretty motherfuckers who got some dick in high school that feet were ugly as shit, so, like, yeah, there you go.
Take the nails, bro. Take them.
So the last part of research that we're going to talk about before we get into, like, our individualized topics that we came up with for this conversation is Randy Thornhill, a professor at the University of Mexico, found that attractive men cheated on their spouses more than unattractive ones.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite. Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
And that among 203 heterosexual college-age men who are in permanent relationships, even though what relationships are really permanent, but, you know, I don't like that wording, but that they average 2.67 more relationships than their less attractive counterparts. What do you make of all this?
I can see how that could be true. More attractive people always have more options, and they always have people after them. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier for attractive people to get what they want from the opposite sex, especially in a romantic setting. So that's very believable. I definitely believe
I ain't experienced none of that shit. So I need to, the red bearded assassin is not, let me stop lying. Mm-hmm. But you gotta keep in mind, I was in one relationship for damn near half my life, so I'm sure I'm like on the other end of the spectrum on that one.
Yeah, I mean, but even being single since you've been divorced, like, you haven't experienced that at all?
A bunch of relationships? No, I mean, I'm Hayes. I fuck who I want to fuck, so this just is what it is. But
No comment at all.
It's weird. It's weird because somebody, so legit, and I'm not gonna mention any names, but somebody that I know told me that I'm dangerous, right? And they were just being silly. I think it was after I posted the photo shoot pictures or whatever, and I was like, "What do you mean?" She was like, "Not only are you actually attractive, you're intelligent. You know you're intelligent. You know you're attractive, and you just don't give a damn." And it's like the perfect combination. I'm like, I don't know nothing about what you're talking about. I'm just me. Real, like, and I think because, like, don't get me wrong. Younger Hayes, of course, big cocky ass. Well, I'm still cocky now, but I'm more cocky about my work and the shit I put into. Not, you very rarely hear me just be super cocky about my looks or whatever. But I think that comes with growth, right? Because, I mean, like I said before, I look the way I look because of my parents. So I don't take any accountability for that. But the way that my mind works, the shit that I do, the shit that I put my hard work into, that shit takes time and part of my life. And I'm damn sure cocky about that shit. But it's interesting because it's like, I wonder how much, and you know, how like my podcast has grown, the deals that I've been able to do, the things that I've done, now makes me think, all right, how much of that is because people find me attractive versus how much is it because people actually rock with the fuck with the way I think, or maybe it's a combination of both. What do you think? You know me very well.
I would say it's a combination of both.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank
There's
you.
Nothing wrong with that, but you know, combination of both for sure.
There you go. And I don't know if people have noticed or not, but I've been rocking this Content King hat all motherfucking week, and I love this shit. I love this motherfucking shit. This shit is my crown. I'm going to take it off next week. But,
all right. Make your head bigger.
My head is already big as shit, so it don't even fucking matter. Like seriously, is it? I look at Alan, right? Because, you know, the girls really don't have, they have, I guess, bigger heads, but it's not, my head is super motherfucking big. Me and Alan, like, I sometimes look at Alan's neck like, bro, we need to strengthen this because your head keep growing. You ain't going to be able to support it, fam. You ain't going to be able to support it. talking about my motherfucking head. Fuck you. I love you though, but fuck you. all right. So let's get into the actual things that we're gonna break down. Talking about ugly energy. First topic on this one: ugly attitude equals ugly results. When has someone's energy made you realize that looks ain't everything? What about this, Tia?
When they were assholes. I don't like assholes.
Okay. I'm an asshole, so I take offense to that, but that's cool.
But if you're an asshole for a specific reason, like if someone did something to you and your response is being an asshole, that's one thing. But when you're an asshole for no reason to everybody, if you're a bitch, if you're rude as hell, if you're disrespectful, like all that is ugly and unattractive, and it makes you ugly regardless of how cute you are on the outside.
Mm. I think, yeah, I mean, you pretty much summed it all there. I think that, you know, for some people, they get passes, right, because they are attractive, or people are so caught up and engulfed in how they look that they ignore ugly-ass attitude. And I think that also comes with maturity, that you just don't stand for that shit. Like, for me, listen, you could be the most beautiful mother. Everybody knows I love Dasha Polanco. But if that motherfucker had an ugly-ass attitude, I'd be like, look, I'm good. It comes with being older and getting older that you just like looks. Let me not say that they aren't ever a factor, because they are. As and listen to this week's episode of Love, Lesson, Badass Soul to hear me and Tia's thoughts on dating somebody definitely who you think's not attractive, because that shit ain't happening for me, the one of us. But at the same time, like, it has to be a balance, because if you have a badass attitude, or even for me, it's not, let's not say just the attitude. For me, I look at how you treat other people, right? And how people talk about other people. So if I was on a date with somebody, for example, we out kicking it, and she's like, "Oh, you see that fat bitch over there?" Instantly, I'm turned off, because it's like you're judging somebody just by their weight, and that shit ain't cool, you know. I don't know. It's just for me, or like when you're out at a restaurant, how somebody treats the waitress says a lot to me. It really does. Yeah. Like, people have said that I overblow that, but for me, like, for example, I've seen people snap at waitresses and not even like call, like, hey, you come over. Like, they tell you their name when you sit down for a reason. Like, that shit all matters to me. And the way that you treat people it tells me so much about your character. So that's why I like, why that's part of the reason why I'm so quiet. Like, you've been around me in person, you know, I'm definitely quiet. When I'm looking at people, I'm watching all that type of shit. And if you treat people like shit, then you got to get the fuck from around me, which is one of our topics later on. But all right, ugly habits that someone can have that shows that they are ugly internally. What's some of these habits that you think?
Habits. They don't keep themselves up.
Okay.
Hygiene, like bad habits with hygiene. Sometimes if you're a really bad dresser, like you have a habit of dressing very bad.
Okay.
Or slutty, or like you do too much or not enough.
Okay.
If you look homeless, if you look dusty, those kind of bad habits with hygiene make you.
And let me tell, like I've seen, and it's been a bigger thing that I'm just paying more attention to it. I've seen so many beautiful women with ugly ass teeth, even though we're supposed to be talking about ugly attitudes, but you're getting on hygiene and stuff. But please fix your motherfucking teeth. Like, I don't give a fuck how cute you are. If your teeth ain't together, there's an issue. But keep going. Go ahead.
That's true. That is very true. Bad teeth are horrible. What else? I mean, it kind of falls back to the previous topic. Like, if you're a shitty person, your habit is to be a shitty person, then you're ugly. It shows everyone that you're ugly. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. That's a bad habit, to treat people shitty.
That's a fact. I think, is that it on your list? You got anything else?
I think so.
So I came up with a list of a few things. We could break this off. I got four things on this list, and we could talk about them. You went with more of a way you handle and handle yourself and present yourself, which is a fair fact. I try to think of it more of like habits of ugly people as far as like ways that you act. So first thing, someone who always thinks negative.
Yeah.
I can't stand someone and that it's always a bunch of negativity when you talk to them. Like, there's somebody I'm trying to avoid. I try to avoid spilling names, especially people who I know who are sensitive. But there's somebody that I know very well that I talk to on a semi-regular basis. And every time I'm on the phone with them, which I already don't like, it's something negative. Either like somebody cut them off on the highway, or, oh, somebody's trying to get over on me because they didn't give me my 2 cent back. Or, oh, did you see that somebody spent money on XYZ when they really should be investing in this? They're just stupid. They don't know what I know. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, that's what I got to say. If I'm always around, and the thing is that your brain is a muscle. People forget that. So how you think, you're training your brain to react that way all the time. So when you constantly think negative and you're always in a negative mindset, or you look at everything for the negative, you are just training your mind and your body there to react with everything with negativity. And I can't be around that.
Yeah.
And so it's I can't be around anybody who affects my, like, I'm almost always in the same mood. I'm either even keel or I'm going the fuck off. If when I'm around you, I start feeling negative, like, even when I go off, I'm not usually negative. I just got to get the shit off my head and I can go back to being me. But if it's somebody around who affects my energy in a way where I just feel like it's constantly some negativity shit, you can't be around me. But I'm hanging on number one. Number two, an apathetic attitude. Listen. Somebody who doesn't care about anything, and I'm very go with the flow. Nonchalant and apathetic are different. I'm nonchalant in the way that, well, let me not say, I'm adaptable. I'm pretty much cool in every situation because I can go with the flow. I'm like Batman. I've already come up with every possible scenario, so I'm just going to go with whatever you give me. But when you have somebody who's apathetic and literally does not give a shit about anything, that is problematic. What do you think about number two?
Yeah, for sure. I can't deal with nobody like that, period. Friends, mate, nothing. It's annoying.
And apathetic people are born as shit to be around. Like, for real. Like, if you just don't care about nothing, every time, hey, you want to go here? Oh, I don't care. Hey, you want to go over here? Hey, I don't care. Then when you finally get to the place, they just sitting around like, oh, well, I'm here. Motherfucker, live in the, like, Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. That's an apathetic person. I can't be around no niggas like that.
Winnie the Pooh, though.
I'm just saying. Constant defensiveness. That's number three. Somebody who always is on the defense before they even know the situation. They're automatically in a defensive mindset or stance in the way they talk about shit. Like, again, we've talked about, like, I talked about how you're training your mind. You're training yourself to constantly think like if you're always in a constant defensive stance, then that means that I can't even bring up, like, if I can't even say, hey, you got some ketchup on your shirt without you getting defensive, like, oh, what you trying to say? I don't give. I'm a messy fucking eater. No, I'm saying you got ketchup on your motherfucking shirt. Like, what do you think about that, lady?
Yeah, I don't deal with people like that either. I cut people off very fast, and those last two are definitely reasons that I cut people off very quickly. You know, I don't have a lot of patience. So
that's something. It's funny because you say that. You've said that, I think, on at least once on. Every the last three times we've recorded anything together, whether it's this or that, you've said that a bunch. And it's funny because I've been around you, and you are. I've seen you be patient. So, like, when you say you don't have patience, in what setting don't you mean? Because you're patient with me, you're patient with your niece, you're patient with even like I've seen you with times your sister's gotten on your nerves, and you've tried to be patient until it gets to a certain point. So, like, when aren't you patient?
I ask my sister's out. My niece is a child. That's different. I don't have a lot of patience with adults.
Okay.
Especially when you know you're not supposed to be doing something, or you know something's going to make somebody feel away, or some of these habits that you just named. Like, nobody has to deal with that. Nobody has time for that. I can't deal with adults that should know better.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. Last one on my list of this topic. It's people who worry way too much about everything. That is an ugly ass habit. Like, and I get it, especially me being a parent. We're in a pandemic. I understand people are more higher alert. But when I say you're constantly worrying about every, like, you can't even enjoy yourself to go to the park, be sitting in the grass because, oh, what if a spider or a rattlesnake comes and bite me in my leg? You, why the fuck is you be worried about some shit that's not even possible? We don't even live in an area where rattlesnakes are available. Why are they coming up in the conversation? No, I mean, that's dramatic. But seriously, people who worry way, way too much, I feel like that is a very ugly type of mindset to have.
Definitely. All good ones.
So we've now diagnosed the habits or traits of people who have ugly ass attitudes. So now let's get into the ugly truth. What does someone's ugly attitude really say about them?
That they have some shit they need to work through.
Okay.
Some baggage, some trauma maybe, just some shit they got to work through. And they need to work through it immediately.
I mean, we all have stuff we want to work through. So I look at it like, okay, of course, I agree with that. But I think an ugly attitude really reveals some either deep-rooted insecurity, some trauma that they haven't taken time to get over that's happened in their life. So they've internalized that by being negative or ugly to other people. Or it says about them that that they are just that they are a narcissist. Right. And that's not always a trait of a narcissist. I think people try to throw that narcissist thing on too much stuff nowadays. And we've started losing the meaning of it. But I think like that it can mean that could be a red sign of that. I think when you look at somebody who has such negative energy about them, such a negative attitude, such a negative way that they carry themselves, usually means that they're dealing with some shit that they, rather than take the time out to do the shadow work to deal with themselves, They're just treating they're treating other people how they feel inside. And let me make sure I'm saying that I make this clear. Even though I'm saying that they're dealing with some shit inside, that doesn't necessarily mean that they deserve your patience either. Sometimes you gotta still say fuck them. They gotta deal with that shit on their own. Ugly people with ugly energy can drain you, or ugly attitudes can drain so much out of you, especially if they're people you care about or love, because you're trying to look for the best in what they do, or you're trying to help them. And then you end up empty, and they still out here being ugly as fuck to people. Like, sometimes you just got to cut the ugliness out. It's like a cancer. You got to cut that shit out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Whenever you had to cut somebody off for being ugly. Energy.
Being ugly?
Yeah.
When was the last time?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always cutting people off, but now I'm trying to think of the reasons. I had a close friend that I grew up with that I had to cut off because she was being ugly. She was one, like, she always was complaining. Every time she called me, it was a complaint about something. She always had a bad day. She never had anything positive to say, but she didn't want to do the work to fix it. She didn't want to go to therapy or talk to a counselor. She never wanted to talk through nothing. She's had a chip on her shoulder, and I didn't like that.
Okay, fair enough.
Now I love her from a distance.
Hey. There's power in that. Like, once you are okay, like I've said this before, I think I've said this talking to you on Love, Lust, and Badass, or maybe with something else. I can love the hell out of you and never fucking talk to you again and be perfectly fine with it. I will love you from where I am for the rest of my life and never be around you a motherfucking again and be perfectly okay with that.
Act like I never knew you. Just keep it moving.
Like I think I told you the other day when I had to flip out on my uncle. I love my uncle. And Xavier loves my motherfucking uncle. But that motherfucker can almost never be around me again because he's it's something that flipped in his head at 60 that I cannot deal with this motherfucker anymore. And so he doesn't listen. I don't know, my mama listens sometimes. So mama, I'm sorry that I'm putting your brother out there. I'm not mentioning any names, but seriously, it's some people. As long as you are trying to love them through shit, it's just going to hurt you. They're not going to realize what the fuck they're going through. And sometimes it's just not worth the energy.
It enables them to continue to act the way they're acting.
And sometimes people can only realize how negative and how ugly their energy is when they sitting around and don't nobody want to be the fuck around them.
Mm-hmm.
That
especially
silence
the people
speaks
that
loud.
They think love them the most.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I could beat your ass all day, but me just not dealing with you, that's going to hit hard. I almost struck my uncle the fuck out, but that's a whole different story, man. I'm not even going to spread family business on this here podcast.
Exactly. Keep it cute.
But let's move on as I'm trying to work through my personal trauma. last topic. This one is titled, Get the Fuck From Around Me, like I said earlier. That's one of my, I love that saying. But this one is, how do you keep the negative energies of others from impacting your life? What do you think about this one, Tia?
Besides cutting them off?
That's the easy thing. Come on, let's get, cut. Let's say, I agree with that. The number one thing is cut off, but you can't cut everybody off. But, okay.
Well,
I mean, for example, could you cut your mom and your sister off completely? I know how much they get on your nerves, but could you cut your mama off? You could cut your mama off. Okay.
If they did some shit to the point that I could not forgive them for, or just completely pissed me off, or they didn't recognize or understand what they did wrong or apologize, yes, I absolutely could. Sometimes family is the ones you need to cut off the most.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, and I agree with cutting off. We can't just throw every cutting off is too easy. We got to create some content here.
I mean, initially, mm-hmm. I would try to be positive. Like, I'm always positive for the most part, especially when it comes to my friends. So I'm always going to give you positive advice. I'm going to tell you to clear your head. I'm going to tell you to, you know, do everything you need to do to stay in a positive space. But when it gets to the point where I'm tired of hearing the same shit over and over and over again, then I just stop answering the phone. That's just how I've always been. I'll try to help you as long as I can. But if I'm trying to help you and you're not taking heed to any of my advice or any positive advice, and you keep calling me with the same BS, and you're always complaining, you're always being negative, or you got the same problem for months, years at a time that you have not resolved, but you know that you know, what to do to resolve it, but you're still sitting in it and complaining. I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
So I will not answer the phone.
Help me help you, right?
Hey.
So,
how you do it?
Anything else before I get into my list?
No, I'm sure you have a long list.
You know I got my list. Come on now. You listen to The Awakened Soul. Everybody knows, especially with,
a little more simple.
Especially with topics like this, I create my list. That's when Pastor Hayes comes out, as people have named me with this shit now that I don't like. I hate. I adopt some names, some nicknames. I hate the Pastor Hayes nickname.
I think I called you Bishop Hayes.
See? I remember the episode the exact episode where I first got that. It was Get the Fluff Out. That's the first episode after that people were like, oh, you preaching. Pastor Hayes. And it just stuck. And I'm like, listen, can we please stop this shit? Can we please stop this Pastor Hayes shit? But anyway, first way, keep your own power. And by that, I mean, don't let the other person's energy bring you down. Sometimes you have to, and by whatever means that is, like if you know that you... Like, for example, and you asked me before, how can you not cut some people off? Sometimes the negative work and the negative energy comes from people at work, and you have no control if you have to interact with them. If you have a manager that you got to interact with every day and they're negative all the time, you can't necessarily just cut them off. You can keep it to a minimum, but you have to keep that professional relationship with them because it's based off work. So in a case like that, you got to keep your own power. You have to know who you're dealing with. Once you identify who you're dealing with, at that point, you know how to interact with them. You know that you can't let them steal your joy, so to say. And again, that's a pastor phrase right there.
Yeah, it's a church phrase.
You can't let them steal your joy. You can't let them take your happiness. You can't let them affect your mood. And I know that's easier said than done, but you have to use what things you can to keep that positive mindset and own your own power. That's number one. Go ahead. And you put up the church phrase. God damn it. Go ahead.
So you've never had a boss or manager that you didn't get along with and you told them to email you? Don't come in here. Don't speak to me. Just email me. Everything that you say to me needs to be via email.
See, so you got to keep in mind. So most of my professional career has been in finance. And before that, I ran a stadium. I was the assistant manager at the Sky Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri. We had the management staff had a meeting before every game, after every game, and in between every game. So it wasn't just email. We literally, the departments had to talk to each other. We had to interact. Same thing with finance. When I was in that, we had meetings all the time. This department has to talk to this department. So even, and we had meetings. So we were face-to-face, or we had projects that we had to work with. And to do that, you got to sit down with the other manager of the department, especially when I was in process improvement, and you have to talk to them to go over the thing. So there were situations in which it couldn't just be email, not for where I was.
Mm. Yeah, I've definitely told certain managers, please don't talk to me unless you absolutely positively have to. Please, anytime you need to communicate with me, I need it in writing.
That's so funny. Hey, you got to do what you got to do, though. But that's one way of keeping your power. If that's something that you can do, listen. I'm putting you in this box. You in the email box. We don't do the face-to-face box. So that's what you got to do. But you kept your own power in that situation. Number two, and this is the one I wanted to put it further on the list, but I kind of want to get it out of the way too, is stay positive. I know that's sometimes hard, but you got to think positive, be hopeful, and be grateful. Sometimes you just got to thank God for nothing else than you not like that person. And sometimes just be like, you know what? It's sad that they feel, think, and act that way. But I'm good over here, boss. And then keep moving. Number three, ignore the perpetrator. And that's kind of what what you went into with the emails. Sometimes people who are negative, you just listen. I will look you dead in your face and act like I ain't hear shit that you said and keep it moving. Yeah. You still talking like people only can be so negative about something so long when they talking to a brick wall and you just going about your business. They feel real small when you act like them that way. What do you think about that one?
That's true, but you know what I used to do when I was younger?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like cut people off or ignoring them, I used to treat them how they treated me. Because sometimes people need a dose of their own medicine to understand what the hell they're doing.
You're getting into my last point. Go ahead, though.
Right, go ahead.
So my last one, which T is about to get into, sometimes you got to give that negative energy back.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, you got to go to I can say for me, there have been some people who negative around me or whatever. I've gone off on them one goddamn time and we've been cool ever since. That shit been cool. We ain't had no problems out of them ever since that, especially being in management, dealing with other managers. I'm not going to say any names again, but there was another manager when I was in food and beverage at the Sky Trade Center that was literally negative all the time. Emails, everything was just always talk down to people. I remember, and it was in front of the whole staff too. We were had like a meeting or something, and she said one thing. I said, "I'm tired of your shit," and it just came out. And I went off and I thought, you know what? They probably gonna fire me after this. But what's funny is my boss afterwards was like, I was surprised it took you that long to say it. But after that point, I hadn't had any other issues. I stayed at that stadium another two and a half, three years. Never had another issue out of them. So as much as it sucks to say is that sometimes, especially when you've been absorbing that negative energy by trying to stay quiet, by not trying to give it back, by trying to stay positive, sometimes, look, it's like T'Challa's suit in Black Panther. After absorbing so much energy, sometimes you just got to let that shit out in the blast and let them deal with it and the fallout where it may. What do you think about that one?
I had a manager at one point who, she doesn't know how to talk to people. Mm-hmm. White lady. Doesn't know how to talk to people. Most of us we're African-American staff. And in her email, she comes across very sarcastic and like talk down to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the workplace, especially when you work with a lot of these people, they're very sneaky and manipulative. Mm-hmm. And so they will become like email gangsters, like internet gangsters, and they'll go back and forth. Now, I don't do too much going back and forth. I might respond to your email once, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. After that, I'm picking up the phone. And I'm calling you because I'm not about to keep going back and forth, especially if there's a whole bunch of other people on the email too. Mm-hmm. I'm not about to do that. So I did have to call her one time and I was like, listen, last I checked, you didn't have any kids, which means that you don't have any kids that work here. So it might be in everyone's best interest if you don't talk to people like they are your children. Mm-hmm. So we had a little back and forth, but now I don't have no problems out of her. She's very nice.
See, and it's same thing with me. Like in my work career, anytime I've had to go off on somebody, because you know me, I'm so quiet and just normal day to day life that when I finally do go off, people be like, "Oh, you really had to I had to press some nerves to get him to flip out like that." I've blacked out on some people. As a matter of fact, I got my first management job by going off on my boss. It was one of those things that was like out of a movie. I've told this story on somebody else's podcast thing. It was legit like out of a movie. I worked my ass off one day. I was so frustrated. And then we were getting ready to go or something. And he was like, "Oh yeah. And I need y'all to work 10 times as harder tomorrow. And I may think about giving y'all raise." I went clean the fuck off on him, right? Mm. And when I tell you, I just knew that they were going to call me and be like, "Look, don't even worry about coming back tomorrow after I got home." I got into work the next day. He was like, "Hey, come in my office." He was like, "Look, not only I understand it didn't come out the right way, but you show so much passion. And the way that you talked about what you were talking about, I know you know your stuff. We have this supervisor position open. I want you to apply for it." I looked at him like, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, "Oh, you one of the motherfuckers that like to be beat up, don't you? Because you got to." It was legit. It was out of a movie. I was 19-year-old hot-headed haze, and that's how I got my first supervisor position. But go ahead.
That's crazy, man. I don't go off like that in the workplace. I'm more so, I'm nasty nice. Mm. I know how to be nasty. Corporate nasty nice. What you say? Here you go. So, yeah, I think people see that. And again, because I'm so typically mild and meek in the workplace, people don't expect it. And nothing pisses me off more than when someone's trying to correct you or talk down to you in an email with a whole bunch of other people or in the office with a whole bunch of other people. Now, that's when I really, that's when I go off. Because I'm like, now you're trying to be funny. Now you're trying to embarrass me. Now you're being super negative, and now I have to embarrass you.
All right. Well, damn. But yeah, I mean, and it sucks to say, and that's why I made this the last thing, because this is the last resort. Honestly, if you can find a way to disperse negativity any other way or ugly energy any type of way, any other way, do that first. But when all else fails, you got to give them, hey, sometimes you got to match ugly with ugly, and you got to give them that energy right back. That's just, I mean, we're human. And of course, in a perfect world, you would think, oh, you shouldn't have to do that. That shouldn't be your advice, Hayes. Listen, this is what keeps me from being an actual pastor, because I'm not going to tell you to keep turning the other cheek. Sometimes you got to turn they cheek, whether it be verbally or any other type of way.
Yep.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep. I mean, because if you let somebody get away with being nasty and mean for so long, and you keep coming across as a pushover, and they feel like they can do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes you got to put your foot down and be like, look, bitch. Get your shit together.
Last thing, and then this is it. What is, and I guess this is the way that we can be transparent. What's the ugliest thing about your energy or your attitude?
My energy or my attitude? Sometimes I feel like I don't give people a chance. Like the first time you do something that is questionable to me, especially if I don't already have a relationship with you and you're like a new person in my life, I cut people off very quickly. I don't ask no questions. I don't feel like there should be a conversation. Even with people that have been my friends for years, I feel like if you know me for a long time, you know what my expectations are. You know how I am as a friend or a girlfriend or whatever. And if you do something that you know is going to piss me off to the mat, to where like you need to be cut off, that's another situation where I don't feel like we need to have a conversation. Because you know what you did. I'm not about to sit here and go through every little thing with you and let you know, oh, well, that pissed me off. You know that was going to... You're my friend. You knew that was going to make me mad. Why the fuck did you do it? At this point, I don't even want to know why you knew. Just don't talk to me no more. I will block your number. I will delete you. I will look past you like I never knew you. Like, I cut people off very fast.
Damn, Tia.
I just don't have time for BS.
I feel it, though. All jokes aside, I feel it. I feel where you're coming from with that. I think... for me, if I just had to be honest, then it's not like I mean it to be ugly, but I understand that it can, and, you know, being transparent that it can be that way, is because I don't process things emotionally like other people, that sometimes I have the habit of being like, why are you bitching? Like, just come on, let's go. And it's something that I catch after the fact. Like, I'll sometimes, you know, somebody will come to me about something that they're feeling emotionally, and I'll be like, it's really not that big of a deal. This is what you need to do. Be cool. Let's keep it moving. And then I have to double back like a day or so later, be like, look, I think when you were talking to me, I didn't realize how it was quite affecting you. I thought about it if it was me, but it's something I'm working on. But it is definitely ugly, and it leaves the people that I care about sometimes to feel like, does Hayes really care? Because like I came to him and he was just like, all right, nigga, I'm working on it. All I can say is that I'm working on it. But yeah, that's definitely something that I've noticed about myself, that I just be like, after the fact, especially if I go back and read messages, I'd be like, damn, nigga, like, did you even think about like the fact that they're hurting? Like, you just, so I'm working on it though.
Good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Alana calls me out on it all the time. Shout out to my baby Alana, because I like, she'll be doing something, I'll be like, girl, like, it's, you're not dead. Let's keep it moving. And she'll go about her business or whatever, and she'll come back and sit to me and be like, daddy, I was trying to tell you I stubbed my toe, but you were basically saying I was acting like a punk, but my toe hurts, so now what do I do? I'm like, I'm sorry, baby girl.
Horrible.
Oh, man, listen. But that's it. This has been a good conversation. I hope you, did you have fun?
I did.
Yeah,
especially with the transparency part. That was my favorite part so far.
I'm going to kick you in your shin when I see you again. But go ahead and give them your social media so we get the hell up out of here. You know the routine. You've been here before. You're not new to this.
No. Y'all can catch me at TheFirstLady, DAFIRST_LADI on Twitter and on Instagram.
And you can follow me at CEO Haize, CEO HAIZE. You can follow the podcast at Awaken Soul Pod or at The Awaken Soul Pod, just depending on what platform you're looking for us at. You can also send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. Lastly, you can send us a voicemail, 614-547-2039. We the number one podcast in this bitch. If you got a problem with that, you can come see me anytime, any day. I am the content king. But for this week, we out this bitch. Peace.
Bye. You're funny.